Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here again with Pastor Dusty White and his wife, JC White. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're continuing our conversation on talking to our kids about sex. Last week, we talked about talking to our young kids about sex. We were referring to the book series called God's Design for Sex. In the first book, ages 3 to 5, in narrative form, it just introduces the story of me, how you as a child were made by God and how you were made inside your mom's tummy in age-appropriate terms. The next book, it gets a little bit more detailed, talks about the male and how he's made and the female and how she's made and how God designed to people, a man and a woman, to get married and to have sex, and how that can make babies in, again, in age-appropriate terms. And so today, we're going to tackle talking about sex with our older kids from ages 8 to their teenage years. And a lot of people in our church, guys, as you know, are just entering into this phase of middle school, teenaged kids. A lot of us are not there yet. And so I look forward to those years with fear and trembling.
And we're already there.
Again, interested in your guys' wisdom and how you've tackled the issue of sex with your two older children. In this book three from God's Design for Sex, is called What's the Big Deal? And it's a little bit longer book, not written in storybook form. It has chapters and some discussion questions at the end that you can engage your kids with. And, you know, this isn't story time at bedtime. This is a book that you're reading for probably a few days in a row. And it addresses questions like sex outside of marriage, puberty, periods, homosexuality, AIDS, sexual abuse, things like that. So how do you guys engage your older kids in this topic, especially, again, like we said last week, in an over-sexed culture? How do you guys do that? How do you guys address that in age-appropriate ways, but also it kind of expanding the conversation a little bit?
Yeah, the interesting thing about this age, basically once your kids hit ages 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, you tend to know them really well, right? If you've been studying your children and been involved with them proactively, you know what makes them tick. You know what sets them off. You know what they're intrigued by, what they're interested in, etc. And so by this age range, you as a parent need to figure out how to nuance these conversations appropriately, meaning like some kids are going to be more interested in these things than others, and others are just going to still feel like it's gross. But the reality is your kids are going to hit puberty in these brackets, right? And so whether you use these books or not, you got to start talking about all of the cultural inundation that they receive on sex. So obviously certain retailers are committed to sex. And so you're going to walk past that in the mall with mm-hmm. your 10-year-old and mm-hmm. she's going to have to figure out, is that what I need to look like mm-hmm. in 9 years? Cause if so, I got a long ways to go. Mm-hmm. And so that's what she's receiving in the mall when you walk past to buy her a new pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. And so you got to start engaging that stuff proactively. You know, and your kids notice those things. Mm-hmm. So that's an opportunity for engagement. You have to also realize that your kids at this age are never going to know what it's like to grow up in a society where homosexuality was shunned or where it wasn't necessarily accepted, I should mm-hmm. say. Mm-hmm. And so I think kids in this age have the most work ahead of them. Just when it comes to confusion, who am I sexually? Who should I be sexually? Why does that kid over there kiss that boy at school when he's a boy? Mm-hmm. Why is that stuff happening to me? And how do I filter that through my Christian lens?
Yeah, and I feel like at this age, the ages that we're talking about now, which is like 10 to 14. Is that kind of where we're at? No, 8 to 14.
Yeah.
I feel like they've been around, if you're Christian parents, they've been around church long enough to know right and wrong. So they start seeing black and white, and they start being more judgmental. Mm. And so I think it's really important to start talking about these things through a healthy lens and yet with grace. And I feel like that's my role, is to be day by day praying for them, being intentional with them, and yet knowing that I can't do it on my own, that it's only by God's grace that I have the ability to answer these questions through a lens that's healthy and appropriate and through God's design. And so I think some ways that we've done that are when our kids hit 10, we take them on a special trip, or we take them, we separate them specially. So like if it's a girl, I take them. If it's mm-hmm. a boy, Dusty takes them. And we talk about issues of puberty and sex, if they have any questions. And then we also address things like pornography and homosexuality. And I think for us, some of those things we feel like are a win when they don't understand them or they haven't ever heard of them.
Yeah.
So for instance, this summer I took my daughter Tegan, and I said, "Have you ever heard of pornography?" And she's like, "No, what is that?" And I just thought, yay, thank you, Jesus, that she does not know or has not been exposed. And and so it was just a brief conversation. Whereas, you know, I think with some kids at this age, it can be an in-depth conversation, and because they've been exposed or are more curious.
Yeah.
So it's important to talk about it.
So when you guys say you take your child on a special trip at 10 years old, from 3 to 10, have you done your hardest to try to shelter them from those things? How does a parent go about that?
Yeah, I think I don't know if shelter is a good word. I would say we try to educate them along the way. So the thing at 10 is kind of this, we're trying to create this experience with a trip, and it doesn't need to be extravagant or where we spend a lot of money. And honestly, if you wait till 10 to talk to your kids about sex, you're way behind the ball.
Right.
As we said last week previously. So at 10 though, we want to start talking about things that start happening at 10, 11, 12, things like you're going to get a period someday and we're going to need to know because these things are going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to have hair. You're going to have an erection, you know, like what? Mm-hmm. So like, you got to start talking about these things. So because, and the reason why we're so big on talking about these things is because you want to create a safe environment in your home where your kids can come and bring those questions to you. So where JC's saying our 10-year-old she didn't understand what pornography even was after she explained it. What we want there, what we're trying to create at 10 is an environment for her to be able to come back when she does see it, right? Hey, I was exposed to this. These are the feelings I got. What does that mean? Can we talk about that? So we're trying to create a culture in our home where we can talk about all those things. Because here's the thing, especially if you're a Christian parent, if you come hard with judgmentalism or just right and wrong and black and white, the world isn't that way. The world isn't black and white. There's people in your gospel community who have babies, but they're not married. And so the reality is you want to teach your kids how to respond to situations with grace, like JC was saying earlier, but also how we do live in a broken world where not everybody has a mom, not everybody has a dad. And so that doesn't mean that kid is worse off. Yeah. It just means, there's a different situation for them. There's a different family structure for them. And so how do you engage those kinds of questions? You know, you want your 10-year-old to be bringing to you questions of like, so what happened to so-and-so's husband? Or, well, actually they were never married. Well, why is that? You've told me that babies come from moms and dads. And so, yeah, we did. But so, you know, in this brackets, you want your kids to be able to wonder and be curious and let their imaginations run wild. And I don't mean that, that's no pun intended when I say run wild. Your kid's imagination is free and clear. Mm. Let it go and then let them bring those questions back to you and tease them out of them.
Yeah. You want to be the place that they come, to understand, was this a good or is this bad? And I think that was what you were doing in the first, like from 3 to 8, you were setting up just a safe environment for your kids to talk about these things, to ask questions. And so the hope is that because you've done some of that work, now they feel the freedom to come to you with this, these other questions that they're having. I think, for us, that kind of looks like, I remember growing up, I would never talk to my dad about puberty or body hair, or those things were embarrassing. And I didn't feel comfortable or safe talking cross gender. But I remember, you know, my son talking to me about body hair, and I was kind of shocked because I just thought, wow, he feels that safe to be able to tell me what's going on with him. And vice versa with our daughter to you. And I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying that's my hope, that they will always feel that freedom to bring anything, even if it's cross gender, and ask the questions that they need to.
So this next book, the final book in the series, book 4, ages 11 to 14, still talking about sex in age-appropriate ways, changes for girls, changes for boys, how does a woman become pregnant and give birth, things like that. But it also gets into things like why save sex for marriage, love and dating. How have you guys engaged those topics in particular with your kids? The idea of sex in the context of marriage, and even what does love and dating look like when I'm 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, a young adult.
We've done, we've tried to set up reality for our kids, which is like, hey, if you're 13 and dating, what are you planning on doing with that? I mean, are you going to get married in 2 years at 15? Probably not, because you're not as independent as you might want to be by then. So we've tried to build into a framework with our kids of just realistic expectations. You don't want your kids to grow up too fast. And the same is true about their sexuality. And the same is true about their dating and married life. You know, obviously dads joke about how they'll sit with a shotgun and nobody will ever date their daughters.
I plan on doing that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And I'm kind of scared of you already. But the reality is you want to begin early figuring out how to send your kids off to leave you and then cleave to their spouse eventually if the Lord gives them one. And so you want to be setting that framework up early. And so you want to anticipate marriage with them. You want to, you can't plan it for them and you can't guarantee it for them. You can't guarantee babies for them, but you can expect it. You can pray towards it. You can anticipate the next season of their life while they're still with you. And while they're with you, they're kids. And so honestly, they don't have to date. They don't have to look towards marriage at 13 and 14. So I think our kids, I think they both, you know, they desire those things, but just they have this framework of, well, there's no point at this juncture. So maybe when they get older, but.
So you guys would say, you guys would tell your older kids and even your younger kids that dating is something that prepares you for marriage. It's not something that you just flippantly do. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's, we start them young thinking that way. And that's very important, I think, because it helps them as they get older and mature. That's been their thinking all along. It's just that, dating is for a purpose. And I think that because of our experience, we long for them to have more, purity, more healthy experiences. And I think the only way that they can do that is to start the knowledge young and, hey, what am I saving this for? Why is it important to not just kiss every boy that I am attracted to? Well, if I feel this way, what do I do with it? You know? And so when you're having those conversations at a young age, it's easier to transition to the older age and, you know, just tell them that, well, we hope it's because you're saving for this gift of marriage that God gives us all. And, you know, sex and kissing and touching and things like that, that's for marriage because it's a gift. And, you know, it doesn't always go that way. And so you bring reality into those conversations, but that's the hope when you start young with this conversation. And just to transition well.
Yeah, and I think especially at these ages, you got to start talking about attraction, right? Like, it's different to play Legos with a girl and another thing to be attracted to a girl,
yeah,
or vice versa, you know? So you have to start, again, you have to start studying your children and creating an environment where you can talk about those things, engage those things, proactively pursue those conversations. And you'll know if you pay attention who they're attracted to, what they're attracted to. You'll start to understand what their main idolatries will be. And the same is true about their sexuality. You'll start to see where they go sexually, where they go in their minds, where they go in their experiences. And so, you know, you can either shame them in that, or you can create a culture of grace for them where you're shaping that for them and inviting a healthy conversation because they trust you, right?
Dusty, you just mentioned creating a culture of grace. What words of grace do you have for parents that are listening that have had a late start in talking about this? Maybe they found out their son is looking at pornography, or their daughter has looked at pornography, and they're late to the game in these conversations. What words of grace do you have for them?
Number one, I would just say my main words of grace to you are the same words that Jesus gave you as well. Like, he would not condemn you, and he would not say, look at what you've done, and you're late to the party, and so your kids are a mess. Instead, what he would say is, start now. And what he would say is, repent. If your kids have stumbled across your stack of pornography, then it's not their fault. They're curious, and it's because of they found something that is actually associated with your sin. And so you have to lead out in repentance with that. And in leading out with repentance, that is God's grace towards you. And that's God's grace towards your kids, because you're going to lead them into so much more than just a healthy sexuality. And God will redeem all of that. And so I would say lead out with repentance. So, you know, maybe that isn't the case. Maybe they haven't stumbled across it, but they've stumbled across it on their own, or they've gone seeking it. And they're maybe overly sexualized, and you're not sure what to do. It's not too late. It's never too late to start involving third party influences, especially at this age bracket. I'm highly convinced you got to have third party gospel influencers, is what I call them. Because at this age, your kids start, they've listened to you, and it's not that they don't trust you, but they also need other influences. So you need another male and another female that they can look up to and ask questions to and be led by. So start now. Don't beat yourself up. Accept God's grace towards you, and then be gracious to your kids in turn. Don't condemn them. Don't shame them. Enter in with them right away.
Yeah. Just remember that you are the biggest influence in your kids' lives. And so it's never too late to start having conversations, because they still will look to you, no matter how disgruntled, no matter how hormonal, no matter how far away you feel like they are, they're listening, and you make an impact. So I think just start where you're at.
Yeah, and if you don't even know how to start, ask for help, you know, especially at Coram Deo, we want to help you with that. And then if you're listening in from a different church or a different environment, start getting help yourself in that area.
Again, the books that we've been referencing over the last 2 weeks has been the series called God's Design for Sex. It's a four-part series. And then the other book referenced last week was God Made All of Me, a book to help children protect their bodies. Talking about sexual abuse and how our bodies were made. Another resource is Deepak Raju. Is that how you say his name, Dusty?
Yeah.
His book, On Guard, Preventing and Responding to Child Abuse at Church. This is great if you're a church leader, you're maybe involved with your kids' ministry. We definitely suggest you read this book and proactively prepare your church leaders and parents in your church about the topic of sexual abuse. So Dusty and JC, thanks for spending two episodes talking to your children about sex. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Please join this conversation or suggest conversation topics by tweeting us at Coram Deo Omaha, or shooting us an email, or Facebooking us. please join us again next Wednesday on the Wednesday Conversation.